for Chatham Light Up the Park. And so for 4 hours, we stood out in the cold and took donations and smiled and told them, hey, enjoy. Listen to 98.1. And the music goes with the lights just for a section part of it. And we'll take your money, right? And it was fun. And one of the things that was cool, it was such like not as cold that some of the kids got to open the sunroof and kind of surf on top of the car. And hearing the little voices as we say Merry Christmas, they say Merry Christmas back. Man, that's a gift. That was so awesome. And there was moments that we both, as parents, go, man, we missed that stage. We missed that stage. And my wife immediately goes, but I'm scared if it ever were to happen to us again. If we were to have a kid now, woo, I don't think I can make it. Right? And this is where Elizabeth and Zechariah were. And God comes to them and say, hey, you haven't had a kid yet. You've already come to the stage in your life that you're not supposed to have kids. You've come to the stage in your life that you've already said, okay, this is my state. You know, and they probably loved on other kids, which I'll explain that in a little bit. But they were content. And then the news comes. And this is awesome. I think this would happen to all us. Guys, if an angel comes to us in a private moment and says, hey, your wife's going to get pregnant, and you're like 60 to 80 years old, and you're going, not going to happen. I know you're an angel, and this is a miraculous thing, and you're a gift from God, and but you're wrong. And he immediately says, hey, because you didn't believe in me, guess what? You get to be quiet until your son comes. Part of me is like, wow, that's a gift too. Because I don't know how to explain this to everybody, right? But no, that was part of it. And so within this did you hear moment, we talked about our faith and some of the things that God is calling us to do, and it can shock us. And are we ready for it? Are we ready to do what God has called us to do? And we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit more this morning. And we're going to talk about the way we get news, right? And I, as I've gotten older, I used to love surprises when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. But as an adult now, I don't know if I can handle many surprises anymore. All right, and let me explain, because our news comes differently. Like, as a kid, you got the news like, hey, we got a surprise, and it didn't come with the doctor's bill, all right? It came with, hey, we're going to Disney World. Hey, we're going to pull you from school and just have a lot of fun today. Like, those were the news, like, hey, these are the surprises. This is the news you get. As we get older, like, you go to the doctor, and they hey, I got some news for you. No. You hold on to that. Going to a mechanic. This is my favorite recently. I dropped my car off for just a routine checkup, and I get the phone call. Hey, sir, I just want you to tell you, we're not going to charge you anything. And I immediately was like, sweet. And immediately follows, because we cannot fix this. Oh. In fact, this should not be on the road anymore. Oh. Can I redial? Like, it doesn't work that way, right? Like, news, the way we get it, sometimes, I know for you, like, for me, I live in this anticipation of always the other shoe dropping, the, oh, no, you know, you get that phone call, and it's not somebody that normally calls you on a day like this, and you're like, uh-oh. Anybody? Like, instantly, your heart drops. And I feel like this is a moment for Mary. First and foremost, before I get into telling this story, I want us to if you have your Bibles, to open it up to Luke. Luke 1:38 says this, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Let me read that one more time. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. I want us to hold on to that verse today. I want us to understand this amazing heart from a teenage girl and what she's being told and how she's being told and how courageous she is in this moment to receive this way. Now, just a couple months prior to this probably, we had Elizabeth and Zechariah get this news. In the same kind of fashion, an angel showed up, gave them this news, and it's from God, and they're going to have this child that is going to start preparing the way for Jesus. And that they were going to be like the best friends. This is amazing. This is an awesome thing. And I have this feeling, like, it's not written in Scripture, but you can kind of get the understanding within the context that Zechariah and Elizabeth had been pouring into Mary and Joseph. That they've known them for a while and probably mentored them as their own kids in their mind. And they were investing in them. And I'll explain this as I go on. But so Mary and Joseph probably knew, wow, what news? This is crazy. And they can't really talk to Zechariah. Well, they can talk to him, but he's mute. Sorry, I can't say anything. He's probably got really good at charades, all right? But we have this moment. They heard this story about Elizabeth and Zechariah and the angel, and all of a sudden this angel appears to Mary, and she's alone, and turns to her, hey, I just want you to know you're favored in God's eyes. Now, it took me a couple minutes to reread this response, and her response was, hold on, what does that mean? And she kind of was fearful of what was going to happen next. What does it mean to be favored by God? You see, I would love for you to just look at the person next to you across the aisle and go, hey, God favors you. Go ahead and do it. Okay, come on, church. I know I'm not really, come on. Let's participate in this, I know. All right, do you want this sermon to go quick? I'll wait until you get it done, all right? I know last week you were excited, all right? That you were favored by God. And right now you're hearing that from a neighbor, you're like, yeah, I know I am. Uh-huh. I'm God's favorite, right? Now, let's put you in a scenario where God has you alone in the car. You have this moment and the Holy Spirit's talking to you and he goes, hey, you're favored by me. I want you to know that's a pull over the car moment. That's what do you mean? What do you want from me? And I want you to know too, there's no age bracket for this. This can happen at any time. This can happen at any point in your life. This is one of those moments that God is saying, hey, I want to use you. Yes, this is why Mary was a little nervous and fearful, because she understood when an entity that is sent by God says, hey, you're favored by God, there's a lot more to this. That they don't just make this random trip to say, hey, God loves you. Just wanted you to know, life is good. You know, here's a cookie, we'll move on. It's not what happened here. And I want you to understand again the scenario. She is more than likely 14, 15, 16 years old, engaged to be married. And the angel says to her, hey, you've been favored. You're going to carry the chosen one. And the Holy Spirit is going to settle upon you, and you are going to conceive. And this is going to be a gift from God, and his name is going to be Jesus, and he's going to be the way, the truth, and the life. No pressure. Don't mess this kid up, right? And what I love is her response is, okay, all right, now that I know I'm your good and faithful servant, I will do it. This is a 14, 15-year-old girl. Now, let me put some context into this. She's not married yet. In fact, she's engaged. And I guarantee she's going to be showing soon. Within the culture that she lived in, she wasn't going to just deal with the rumors, the side voices, the I can't believe that. She was possibly dealing with the ability to be stoned. And not just privately, but publicly. Because it was considered a sin. And the way they dealt with sin back then, it was harsh. There wasn't much grace. And hearing this news and understanding this news and what it could come with, you know what she believed in, and she knew who had her. It didn't matter what the world was going to do. It didn't matter what was going to be consequences of it. She said, yes, I am your good and faithful servant. She trusted God had her. That's some news right there. That's some way to take it. And I look at today and we talk about joy and we talk about it being part of our Advent and anticipating Jesus coming, right? That's what Advent is. We are anticipating. We are waiting in excitement, waiting, going, man, next Monday, guess what we get to celebrate? Oh, you get to open gifts. Yeah. You guess what we get to celebrate? We can celebrate the birth of our King, the birth of our Redeemer. We get to celebrate, and we do this as a church. We do this as a community. We do this as a follower of Jesus. It's not just to put up a tree. It's not just to put decorations. Man, I'm having trouble today. It's not just to hear amazing, fun songs. It's not just to be with family. We do this to celebrate our King, our Redeemer, our Savior. The ultimate gift for us. In every gift we open, in every gift we give, is in remembrance of Jesus being born. Jesus coming. Yes, it's easy to go and say the saying, you know, we never should forget the reason for the season. Sometimes I wonder if we even really captured that reason to slow down and go, oh. Because what that impact does, what that means for us, when we understand this gift is given for us, it changes my whole life and go, all right, you are in God's favor. I have a call on you. It doesn't just reside with these stories in the Scripture. It doesn't just end with the stories of Scripture. In fact, it starts to begin when we say yes to Him and He goes, okay, I have a favor. You are favored. I want this to be done by you to glorify me. Can you imagine having the same faith that Mary has? And I'm not here to idolize Mary. But I will say, I admire her. Her courage, her belief, her understanding of who God is. She received this news and said, yes, let's do it. Let's go. So she received this news. And the next part is, maybe, we find sharing the news. And this would be one of those moments, too, to understand, hey, I have to be very careful of who I share this news with. Because I just randomly start telling people that I'm pregnant and it's with God's Son. People are not going to take kindly to that. Especially knowing I'm not married yet. But she chose to go to Elizabeth, who's already pregnant. Right? And she shows up, and it's one of those moments that's, you almost feel like it's a mom in this moment. And let me read it real quick. This is the interaction between Elizabeth and Mary. And this is where I feel I sympathize with Elizabeth. In a loud voice, she explained, "Blessed are you among women." I just wanted to be loud because she was loud. Sorry if I hurt your ears. "And blessed is the child you will bear." Now, I want to remind you, she has a baby too. She's pregnant as well. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises of her." Now, Elizabeth is pregnant. This is a true gift for her. This makes her complete in her eyes. For years, she knew in her mind she was not favored by God, but she loved God anyway, which is another sermon to think about, right? And all of a sudden, God blessed her with a baby at a point in life that she was like, "Oh, I'm done." Like, okay, we'll see how this goes, and it's with God. We'll do this, right? And the moment that Mary shows up, joy is filled, her baby starts leaping, and all she can do and think about is how Mary is pregnant with our Savior. She didn't go, "Well, my baby's just as important. My news is just as important." Her complete focus in this moment is Mary and that baby, Jesus. And how she celebrated, how she was excited, and how she was joining Mary in that walk. I want you to know, this is the greatest example of how we walk together with Jesus. When God puts a call in our life, I want you to know, it's usually confirmed by others that see it and have been living with the Holy Spirit and have allowed the Holy Spirit to reside in their life, they will come up to you and say, "Hey, I see this in you. I want to celebrate this in you. I want you to know there have been moments in my life that I have felt and denied and wondered, how could God ever call a person like me?" As you can tell, I'm not the best speaker. I stumble over my words. It was a lot worse growing, early on. You got the lucky bin now. You only get like a word every three sentences that I stumble over. I was so self-conscious. I was so nervous. There were many times I stood up on a stage and I would have to hide a hand because I would just, the anxiety and the worry. And I could only imagine, why did God call me? And when you're around other people that have the Spirit within them, they have a tendency to confirm what God has told you. Church, if God is talking to you in two ways, if he has put something on your life that you have to, he's saying, "I need you, I want you, this is the area that you have been called," there's no bounds when it comes to God. Maybe it's the mission field. But I got a great career. I'm happy where I'm at. I don't know. If God seeks your favor, are you going to be saying yes to it? The other aspect of this too, God has called us to cheer each other on. And then there's moments that God has spoken to you, and it's easy to go, "No, no, no. Ben could never do that. Trust me. I know him." If you hear God and God has put it on your heart to share with somebody that I really feel God has put this on me to share with you because he wants to use you and I can't help it and I'm excited for you and I'm excited about what you're going to do. We need more of that. You see, this was never meant to be an individual thing. We are a family of God. We are a body, and there are so many parts to the body that Paul talks about it. Some are called the hands, some are the feet, some are the ears, some are the head, some are the, you know, you just do what God has called you to do, and if we don't have the parts, we don't function as the body. And the cool thing is, you know, the scary thing, let me rewind it real quick. We have a tendency to fight each other. And if we think about the analogy of the body, it would be weird sometimes to see us just self-mutilate. Critique is what we call it. But really, it's harshness. Not supportive. Judgmental. Elizabeth didn't say, "So who knocked you up?" She didn't say, "I can't believe you did this." She didn't say, "Why didn't God choose me for that?" She celebrated. She rejoiced. She motivated. She gave her a place to stay for 3 months. She loved on her. When we share the news, church, we need to celebrate together. We need to lift each other up. We need to be supportive. We need to go out of our way, the extra mile. And you know that extra mile that he talks about too is for those who are enemies, those who that don't love us. Imagine how far we should go with each other that do love us, that understand who Jesus Christ is. We should be willing, what? To give of our life for each other. That's sharing the news. We carry burdens. We carry each other's desires. We pray for each other. We lift each other up. Next is rejoicing. I can't help how my brain works. I know I've been broken in many ways, and I've watched too many comedies probably growing up. And these two scenarios here between Elizabeth and Zechariah, and when John the Baptist was finally born, do you know what he did? He sang a song. He was that excited. He sang a song. Do you know what Mary did too? In this moment, and Jesus hadn't been born yet, but she was overwhelmed by understanding who she has inside her, what her role in this is, and how she sang a song. She was overjoyed, and she broke out in song. And it'd be like random in this moment, and just sitting in a house, and all of a sudden, Michelle starts singing. I love my wife, and I'm not here to disparage my wife. That is not her gift. She's not going to hurt me. We're safe on this one. But it doesn't matter if Mary could sing well or not. It was all joy. It was all praising, and it doesn't matter what the voice and how it was displayed, it was a matter of the heart and how it was being sang. The news that she received, which changed her entire life, that put her at risk in this world, that it was a favor from God, that God saw her and wants to use her for this, and it's putting her in danger, but it's a gift from God. Guess what? He wants the same thing out of you. I think one of the scariest things to do this day is loving people the way God has called us to love. It will be interpreted as something else. It might not even be received. It'll probably hurt our feelings. Rejection's not easy. right? What if you started loving the way God has called you to love at work? How awkward is that going to be when it's not received? How awkward is that going to be when HR says, hey, stop telling people that you're praying for them? Our God is bigger than this world. Our God is bigger than the HR issues. When God puts a call on your life, when God puts a charge on you, when God is favoring you and says, hey, this is the time, this is the place, I pray that we are like Mary and we say, yes, I'm your good and faithful servant. In the moments that we give birth to what God has bestowed upon us and we get to be a part of it, I pray that we rejoice. I pray that we come to each other and say, hey, God has put this on my life. How should I love my neighbor? How should I, you know, I have been called to the mission field. How do I take those steps together? God has called me to lead a Bible study. How do I do that? God has called me to share the gospel with my neighbor. How do I do that? God has put me through. I rejoice that God allowed me to be a part of his story, that he chose me, that he chose you. Church, this morning I want you to know God chose you to further his kingdom. It might not look the same way. You might not be called to be on this stage. You might not be called to lead a Bible study. You might not be called in certain ways, but guess what? You have been called the way that God has put favor upon you. It's a matter, are you willing to listen for it? And when that moment comes and how it comes, it might shock you. It might push you out of your comfort zone. You might be walking in the depths of the water. Are you willing to say yes to it? And trust God. And rejoice in it. This morning as we've worshiped, we've prayed, we've heard God's word, we prepare for the coming, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus in a couple of days. My hope for you is that you seek the Word of God this week, that you listen and what God has bestowed upon you. And I want you to know, it doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter who you are and what you've done. God loves you so much that he sent his son for every single one of us. And in that, he wants to use you personally. There's no caveat. There's no excuse. There is nothing that you could have done in the past to disrupt the opportunity to live for him now in the future. That's how amazing our God is. He redeems us. He saves us. And he moves us. And I think this part of the Did You Hear series is this. He saved you. He wants to move you. He wants to use you. Are you willing to say yes and celebrate that? Are you willing to share the news of what Jesus has done in your life? Are you done with the excuses? Can you let the anxiety and the worries fade away? Do you trust that God is bigger than this world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your good and faithful servant, Mary. In a couple of days, we're going to rejoice at your birth, Jesus. I pray that it means something to us. I pray that it fills us up with joy, peace, and hope. And it's all wrapped up in love. Lord, I pray that we listen for your voice this week. I pray that it's not just one week, that it's a lifetime where we continue to say yes to you. That the Spirit that you have bestowed upon us, that you are calling us to follow you. Stretch us this week. Surround us with people that will love on us, support us. I pray that as we hear God's voice this week, maybe it is a call to go and support somebody else, to be an encouragement. I pray that we can be Elizabeth, that we're excited what others are hearing from God and how they are called, and that we encourage them and lift them up. God, this week, may you fill us up with a song. May we know that you are calling us. May we know that we have a reason to live and to get up in the morning, and it is to follow you and to share you and to show you to those who need you. We have a purpose, and it is because of you. May we live a life that is ready for the, did you hear what God is doing? May we be a part of it. We give you all the praise this morning. Amen. Church, you're dismissed.